I'm Code Foster. Thanks for joining us on The Maker Show. This time on The Maker Show, we're going to be using Fusion 360, a product from Autodesk. We're going to use it to design ourselves a component that marries up perfectly with some existing pieces. So stay tuned. Okay, so let's go ahead and get started. If you haven't heard of Fusion 360 before, this is a product by Autodesk that I'm a really big fan of. It makes it really easy to design 3D models that you can then print or laser cut or whatever you need. Fusion 360 is a really modern software package that's iterating quickly. Autodesk is doing a really good job of driving changes for users and for the features that are requested. And so I really love using this program. We're going to use it in conjunction with an online service called GrabCAD. We're going to go to GrabCAD, pull down a part that somebody else has already modeled for us, and then we're going to create our own piece that integrates perfectly with that part by projecting those 3D dimensions and features into our own space and then designing around it so that when we're finished, we're going to be able to 3D print this, and it's going to plug right into whatever it is that we're working with. Okay, so the concept for this project is a fictitious one. I'm going to pretend like I'm trying to integrate an ESP8266, which is a really small onboard, basically system on a chip. And this little device has a few GPIO pins, it has wireless, and it's going to allow us to create some sort of an IoT project. And let's just say we need to marry that up with an Xbox One controller, okay? So we need to create an enclosure, 3D print an enclosure that marries up with the bottom of an Xbox One controller, as well as encloses an ESP8266. Now, those are both existing pieces of hardware that we need to integrate with, and we could get a ruler out, and we can measure the size of them, and try to make something that's roughly the right size, but it would be really hard to exactly match the ergonomic shape of the bottom of the Xbox One controller. It'd be a really tough project. So what we want to do is we want to go to GrabCAD.com and pull down an Xbox One controller and pull down an ESP8266 and use those in Fusion 360. So today I'm going to walk you through this whole workflow in Fusion 360 of downloading these parts and then designing ours, and then we're going to create some LANs so that the 8266 fits in there just right. We're going to create a lid so that we can close the whole thing up, and we're going to create some holes so that the pins from the 8266 stick out. They're ready to integrate with whatever else we would be hooking up to this, and then the whole thing will be exported as STLs ready to 3D print. So let's go ahead and try this together. We're going to share screens. Let's go. Okay, so let's start by jumping over to GrabCAD. GrabCAD.com. Easy. And on GrabCAD, you're going to see a lot of models. This is GrabCAD Community. They have another tool called Workbench. We're just going to do a search for Xbox One controller. Click on this. And this is going to, you know, give us a little preview of it. But we've got this Download Files button that allows us to download whatever the assets they happen to give us are. So it might vary. Sometimes they give you one kind of model, and sometimes they give you another. But you take what you get. We happen to get a number of previews here, as well as some project files, some part files here. These are SolidWorks parts, and there's a lot of them in here. These are all interdependent, and sometimes it's hard to know exactly which one is the overall assembly. In this case, they've structured it such that the overall assembly is in a higher level folder, and it's referencing all of the lower ones. Now, into Fusion 360, this is in the Fusion 360 interface. The way that Fusion 360 works is everything's kind of online. So we're going to go up here to the projects tab, the data tab, they call it, and create a new project. And then in there, we're going to hit import a file. So you don't file open in Fusion 360. Instead, you import into your project. And you can import files of lots of different types. Here we're importing SolidWorks files, and it's completely fine with that. I try to import this overall assembly, and it says, well, I don't have the subassemblies yet, so I've got to go grab all those subassemblies. I think there's one in here that's not a part file, so we don't need it. And that's right here, this PDF. So that looks good. Let's go ahead and open all of those. There they are. And we can choose which one is the overall assembly, the master assembly. And it's pretty obvious. It's just called Xbox One Controller. So let's go ahead and bring that in. I'll use the magic of film to speed this up just a little bit. Sometimes this process takes quite a while, especially if it has a lot of interdependent assemblies here. As you can imagine, an Xbox controller is a pretty complicated component. It's got lots of sub-components in it, a lot of little tiny devices. So it would take quite a while to build. I'm glad that we're just able to download this here. Now let's go back to GrabCAD. We've got our Xbox One controller. It's time to search for the ESP8266, and it looks like we've got some options. We'll go ahead and we don't necessarily know which of these is best yet, so let's just go ahead and choose one and take a look at it. Now this one, if I look at the files that it provides me, look, we don't get any 3D files here. We've got JPEGs and that's about it. So let's go try a different model. We really need to download not just still images, we need to download an actual 3D part. So this one's got it. This is an STP file, which is a standard file type for sharing CAD documents, and it is supported by Fusion 360, as with most major 3D packages. So let's go ahead and grab that one, look inside the folder, and see what it gives us. There it is. There's our STP. So that's what we want to import into there. So once again, we'll click Import, jump back out, and grab this one. Upload that into Fusion 360. Actually, we're uploading it into what Fusion calls the A360, the cloud. This is like a cloud-based file system that's got a lot of functionality for collaboration. It actually, recently, they added the ability to do full merging and branching and everything, just like source control in GitHub, so that's pretty neat. I'm opening this Xbox One controller just so we can take a look at this. So you can see that this is a pretty robust model with some nice looking parts here. Actually, this doesn't look exactly like my Xbox One controller at home, so this may be a little bit alternate, but that's okay. The demo still works. And this bottom edge here, this kind of ergonomically designed bottom edge, is the edge that would be really hard to marry up with. If we were designing this more manually, we want to use a 3D model like this so that we can help it to fit right here just perfectly. Let's take a look at our device. This is the ESP8266, exciting little device, Wi-Fi on this little tiny thing. And there's our pins. This is what we want to kind of embed in an enclosure and mount onto the bottom of our Xbox One controller. So that's what we need to do. So I've got these two files open, but what I really want to do is create a new design and bring those in as parts. So I've created myself a new design, created a sketch, and I chose one of the fundamental planes. I accidentally chose a line there. What I really want is a rectangle. Now this rectangle is so far just a sketch. It's four lines that enclose a profile, and it can be turned into 3D. I'm going to kind of lay this out here because I'm going to play with dropping this 8266 into that, and it tells me I've got to save my file first. It does have to be a saved file before you can import these dependent components. So let's go ahead and call this our actual enclosure. Good. Now this exists in this project that I called Xbox One Controller. I now have my new design and two parts. I drop that 8266 in here, and this is a component now. This is a component inside of my design file. I need to get this oriented correctly, and obviously I chose too large of a rectangle here. I'll play around with maybe laying this thing down. It's pretty easy to grab these turnstiles and then set the actual rotation amount so that you get them just perfect. I also like in Fusion 360 the view cube on the top right. It allows for real freedom in viewing your part, but then also really good controls on looking orthogonally at any of your fundamental faces. So here I'm
I'm just rotating this to get this to fit in here just right. Now you'll notice that I'm able to long hold with my left mouse button and choose exactly what it is that I'm trying to select, because when you click on an edge of a part, it doesn't know whether you're clicking on a face or the body or the entire component. And so oftentimes I'll long left hold on the piece or on wherever I want to select, and then I'll choose what exactly it is that I'm trying to select. Now there, when I'm trying to move, I can use this point-to-point movement, so I can grab the edge or one corner of my part and move it exactly down to my sketch there. So that's really helpful. Now I'm starting to question the use of this sketch here. I don't know that I actually need to, I don't think I want to start with a sketch. I think what I want to do is just start with my part and just design around that. Let's just kind of get rid of that. I moved my component, so I'm going to need to accept that move. Now what I want to do is create a new sketch here, and I'm going to create a sketch. When you create a sketch, you create a sketch on a surface, on a plane. And you can use one of the fundamental planes from your origin, or you can sketch directly onto another part. And so here I've created a sketch there and selected. When I create a sketch on a part, it automatically gives me sketch lines or kind of virtual sketch lines for the edges of that part. And so I was able to select the edges, press O to do an offset, and then expand that offset by exactly 1 millimeter. And now I've created a profile that's exactly 1 millimeter larger all the way around. There, I've just added another profile. I actually had to kind of skip ahead and do that quickly, but I created another offset that's another 1.5 millimeters out. So now there are kind of two ways to build up a box. You can build a wall, which is what I was thinking about doing here initially. You can build a wall and extend that wall, but then you kind of have to cap it on the ends. And a better way is to just grab an entire profile and make a box and then do a shell operation. I'll get to that here in just a second. But I can take this profile and I can extend this extrude this. And one of the nice things is I can extrude it. You just saw that I extruded it directly to the end of one of those pins. So I know that it goes exactly to the extent of the pins, and I've done that on the top as well. Here I'm adjusting my extrusion, but I'll say, no, not manual. I just want to select the top of this pin, and now the extrusion has gone exactly to the edge of that pin. All right. Now let's go ahead and grab this top. I know it's to the edge of the pin, but I actually want it to be 1 millimeter, we'll say, above the edge of the pin. Let's grab this one and do the same thing, 1 millimeter down. Okay, so now there's a little bit of space inside that part because I made the box 1 millimeter around, and then I just took it to the extents and made it 1 millimeter high. Let me go ahead and choose this section analysis. I can grab this edge, give myself a little bit of a 3D view here. Now watch this. I can grab this and I can move this section analysis. Imagine it's a cutaway plane, and it allows me to see what's going on inside of a part. You can see that I have a solid piece here. So let me go ahead and select this. I'll long hold, choose its parent body. So now the body is selected. And then I'll choose the shell operation. Let's shell this. And now you can't see it right now, but we just shelled this. Let's go back to our section analysis, which we could have left on, but I just like to turn them off. And now as I dive into this, you can see that this is a hollow piece and that it clears those pins. Actually, it doesn't clear those pins. I think the reason why is because my shell was larger than the amount that I offset there. Now, this is the great thing. I can go back in my timeline down here at the bottom, and I can find the correct operation. That wasn't it, actually. It's not this one. It's not that extrude feature. That was where I extruded to the extent. But later on in my timeline, not that one either. Later on in my timeline, you can see that I have these operations. They're called features. This is where I moved it by 1 millimeter. And I can go back now in time and adjust exactly how much I want that operation to cover. All right, so I can expand those out just a little bit, and now I know that even with my shelling, I'm going to clear those pins. And there we have it. With my section analysis, you can see that everything fits really well inside of this enclosure. I've created a box around this part. That's important. All right, now I'm deciding that on the bottom here, these pins, I don't actually want those to be enclosed in the box. I want to move the bottom of my box up so that the pins poke out of the bottom. So I'm going to go find that feature again, and instead of extending it, I'm going to kind of suck that in and shrink it up. And I can do this numerically if I know exactly how far I want this extended, but I can also just do it visually here by grabbing this arrow and dragging it around. I want for the plastic header casings there to be fully enclosed in the box, and so I want to make sure that I go down enough. Might need to tweak this just a little bit more here. I need to go down enough so that it clears those, and I rely on this section analysis to visually determine that this is going to actually fit in this box. I don't want those headers bumping up against the edge. That's perfect. That's going to work right there. So now we're fully enclosed, but we have pins sticking out of the box, which is what we wanted. Now we actually have the pin models virtually going right through the box model. So what we actually want to do is we want to do some hole cutaways here so that these aren't trying to go through solids, so that when it's printed, there are actually holes in there. So we'll go ahead and do some more projection. What I do here is I create an offset plane, or actually I create a plane right there on the edge, and I project, you use the letter P, I project those bases up to my sketch. And then it's just a matter of choosing each of these faces and offsetting by the right amount. So let's say experiment a little bit and find out that 0.3 millimeters is going to be enough room around there. So let me go ahead and race through the rest of these. I'll do 0.3 millimeters all the way around all of them. At this point, I'm just creating sketch lines, but sketch lines create profiles. And so now I can go back and select those profiles. And I can press the letter Q to do the extrude operation. And this time I'm not going to extrude it out, but I'm going to extrude it in, basically passing the body, and I'm going to cut through that body. You can see that in my extrude command panel or command dialog here, it says that it's assumed to be a cut because I'm trying to go through the body, and it even highlights it in red, and I've effectively cut through that body. So that was really effective. Now I've theoretically got some spots that the pins will perfectly go through. It would have been really difficult to do all the measurements required to figure out where those pins are. So much easier to just have the model to design around. Okay, now let's go ahead and do an offset plane from the top of this box. We want to cut a lid in the box. So we do an offset plane down a millimeter. And then we do a split body operation using the box as the target and the plane here as the tool. And we've effectively cut that lid. Now let me use my select other to select the lid body, not just a face. And I can move that up, and I just removed that lid from the body. Now this construction plane, I can just ignore that. It still exists, but I can hide it, or I could delete it, but there's not really any need to. But construction planes are used very often for just determining two-dimensional areas that you want to do something with. Now I'm going to do a sketch on the bottom surface of this lid, do an offset by the right amount, and what I'm doing here is I'm going to create a little lip that will give me a friction fit so that theoretically this lid will snap right into the entire box. Now you'd want to play around with this. The 3D printers, the variances on 3D printers sometimes make it such that these fits aren't exactly what you want, but it's not too difficult to go back and modify the tolerances and the amounts here, see if you can get it to work. You can also play around with creating a little bit larger lips with concave and convex components that kind of snap into place. Now I don't need all this plastic material here, so I'm going to do another offset. And I'm going to suck the inside back in so that I just have a lip around as opposed to an entire raised panel. not really a whole lot of need to do that. But now I'm noticing as I do this that I don't know that I'm going to have enough room for these header pins on the side. So I want to go back in time again, and I want to change the value of this offset. I can go back to the sketch and edit the sketch. Right-click, edit this sketch. And you can see that when I did that offset, it created a dimension for me. And I can just go edit that, turn that down to 0.75. And there we go. That looks like there's more room. Let me go ahead and check it by showing my my 8266. And now I can see that those plastic headers are going to miss that lip. They're not going to be in the way. So we're making some real progress here. This is great. It's looking good. I usually end up turning these components on and off quite often. Now I want to create some lands. I'm going to kind of race through this section in the interest of time, but I'm going to go to the bottom of this part, and I'm going to project all these features that are on there. I'm going to project them onto a new sketch that's on the bottom of the box. And the reason why I did that is because I want to create some lands, some raised lands that the ESP8266 actually sits on. Now, this device doesn't have any screw holes, but if it did, you would probably want to make these lands that had hollows ready to receive screws. But these are just a good place for this device to sit so that we can work with it. Now, notice what I do here is I create my own dimension. It says this is over constrained, so I'm going to have to right click here and say, okay, well then unfix this point. I don't want this circle to be fixed. I want to create a dimension. You do that by pressing the letter D on the keyboard. I want to create a dimension, and what I want to do is I want to create a length between the center of this circle and the edge of this component, and I want to position it an exact amount. So let's go ahead and click on the edge and on the center and say, let's make this an exact amount. And you can see that the circle then moves to obey that constraint. I'll do that again in the other direction. And now those are exact. And this is one of my favorite things about Fusion 360 is you don't have to count on eyeballing things. You can set these dimensions that make things exact. Things are always exactly where you want them. We'll go ahead and copy paste and manually do this. I think there's maybe a better way. I experimented with doing rectangular patterns, which are great, but it didn't give me as much control over this. So I'll go ahead and just do it the quick and dirty way. Make sure that my dimensions are all correct here. Get those moved the right distance. Here we are. And there we go. There we go. All right. I've got these lands, the sketch lines for my lands anyway. And I want to raise these up to the level of the device. So let me give myself a section analysis. Those are good for just allowing myself to see. And then I need to select these profiles that I formed with these circles. This one's kind of behind something, so I'll use this select other to actually select that profile even though it's hidden. Shift select this one. Rotate around here. And I'll use my select and my select other again to highlight that one even though it's hidden. Now I'm going to raise these up. This is where I pull in my component and I set my extend to that device. And now I've raised these lands up exactly to where that ESP8266 is positioned so that when it comes time to print this, those little lands will print and I'll be able to set my device right in it. Now look at this. Everything is looking perfect. I love it. I love it when everything just lines up. Okay, time to bring in our controller. This is oriented all wrong, so we'll just rotate this an exact amount. Select the component itself, rotate that around. All right, now I've got the component for the ESP8266 and the component for my controller, but check this out. I'm trying to select this, my box and lid, and it's either all or nothing. I can select everything together or I can select just that lid. That's because I have two bodies. Remember, I split this body into two bodies. I have a lid and a box. And that lid and that box over here are listed in my browser, and I need to make a component out of these two things. So I'm going to right-click here and create myself a new component and then drag those bodies into there. Now you should know that when you drag these bodies into create a new component, what we're actually looking at there is the first instance of that component. And one of the advantages of components is that they can be duplicated, and it's really just duplicating the single, the one component, so you can edit it in one place. That's extremely handy. Now I can grab these together and move them around together. Actually, made an error here that I didn't choose the ESP8266 as part of that as well, and so it stays right where it's at. And I move the box over to where I want it to go. But that doesn't matter. We're really only interested in shaping this box exactly how we want it, and then converting it out to STLs so that we can print it. So let's go ahead and get this positioned correctly. Let's grab this component, and we'll move it. Rotate it here. This is about where we'll put it. It doesn't really matter, but this is about where we'll put it. It's nice being in this orthogonal view where we can move it in just that one dimension at a time. And now I'm going to zoom in, and I'm going to make sure that the bottom of this box, see, the inside of the box is exactly the right size, but the bottom of it, I just need to extend it so that it hits and marries up with that the Xbox One controller. So I'm going to pull this down. Right now, the two are kind of meshing. They're kind of merging. And so the best way to do this, there's a couple different ways to do this, but the best way I've found to do this is to use the Xbox One controller to cut my existing shape. So I've got a couple of bodies here, and I'm going to use those to cut this existing shape. Select that one and that one. Choose a cut operation. So this is under it's called combine operation, and a cut or a join, those are both different combine operations. So the feature that you're looking for is under modify, and it's called combine. Now, when I turn off my controller here, I notice that this didn't work. I'm actually going to spin this around and try this from the other side. I'm not exactly sure why that didn't cut. I may just not have had my tooling selected correctly. I'll spin around to this side. Try this again. You can see when I hover that I've still got my full box. So let me go ahead and select my tools, select my target. My target is my box, my tools is my Xbox controller. And then I do that cut. And now if I turn off visibility to my Xbox controller, you can see that the cut's been made, but it left over this piece. Now I need to select this piece and remove it. This is interesting. There's a difference between removing and deleting. What you really want to do here is remove. So you're going to right-click and choose remove, because that keeps your history. If you delete, then the Boolean operation itself goes away and you get your whole box back, which is not what you wanted. So now check this out. We've got a box that is the exact shape ready to be glued or taped or whatever onto the bottom of this controller. So that's just awesome. Now, the shape should be, for the most part, done. What we really need to do now is get these two components of our box, the box part and the lid part, we need to get those out as STL files. Now, STL files are different than models. What we're looking at here is models. STL files are meshes. They're not a very high fidelity reproduction of a part at all. But that's what is required for printing. And so I'm going to export this as an STL. I can choose whatever resolution I want. I can visualize the mesh that's going to be created there. And then go ahead and make this happen. We'll visualize a high resolution. Depends on your printer. The high resolution may be completely unnecessary. And there we go. So let's just go ahead and export this. Save that in my folder here as the box piece. And then we'll show the lid. Export that as an STL.
Well, there you have it. We've designed a part that marries up perfectly with two existing parts. Seems like it's going to print great. We're not going to take it to that step, but it seems like this is going to come out of the printer just fine. And we expect that this is going to work perfectly with these existing pieces. It's going to fit perfectly. If we had screws, they would line up. Everything should just be ready to go. So I hope you had as much fun watching this as I did making it. Really hope that you'll engage with us online. Go to themakershow.io and look at all of our episodes. You can engage with us on Twitter @themakershow. and tell us about the project that you're working on. Tell us what you've made with Fusion 360 or with any of the other technologies that we're talking about here on The Maker Show. Thanks for joining us. See you next time.